حضرت عدی بن حاتم رضی اللہ عنہ, may Allah be pleased with him, a sahabi, who a companion who narrates a hadith. This hadith is in Sahih al-Bukhari. It has been presented. This hadith, the meaning, the subject of the hadith is such, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is explaining and mentioning such a time, that time that will come upon every human being, big, small, child, woman, old person, whoever lives physically in this world, upon that every individual this time will come. And it definitely will come, definitely will come, definitely will come. When will it come? At which time will it come? Which day will it come? Where will it come? How will it come? In which condition will it come? Nobody has the knowledge. Nobody knows. So, the quality of that time, that moment which will come upon every one of us, is that we don't know when it will come. We haven't got the knowledge of it. It will be sudden. Sudden. No pre-warning. No advance notification. Nobody will know that this will happen at this time and this place, but definitely it will occur. And this kalam is of Allah's word, Allah's news through the blessed speech of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the noble companions practiced on this, confirmed this. And what is that time? That is the time of maut, death. The time of death will definitely come. It's a big point, a massive point of note. And this is such a pre-warning. And it has come to us through beautiful examples, strong examples. And you could say it's a forewarning, a pre-warning, a prediction. And when a warning is given, a prediction is given, or a fact you can say is given, then one thing is being told to us here, a warning is being given to us. We are being informed. We are being pre-informed. For example, we see the example that the weather forecast department, the weather department gives us the weather forecast that here, tomorrow in this city or this locality, there'll be rain, severe rain. So what do? We know that, the rain's going to lash down. So when we're about to leave the home and we know that this time there could be showers or rain, we take the umbrella with us that maybe it's going to rain. And we think in advance, I've got to go somewhere. I'm going to be traveling here. I've got my car, but I also need to disembark, so I need the umbrella. And if it's announced that a flood will come tomorrow, or a storm, and that water will fall for many days, and the roads will be blocked, and we won't be able to walk around or drive them, what will we do? We'll run to the stores, the shops, and before time the shops will close, because everything will have sold, the food and the vegetables and the provisions, because the weather department has told us there's a storm tomorrow. And so we plan in advance, we hoard all of the food. And this was the news. So after the news, after the warning, what did we do? We prepared, didn't we? The news came, the pre-warning came, and we prepared. And how did we prepare? With total 100% conviction that this information, this forecast, this is the weather forecast, the weather department, the climate department told us, so be careful, let's prepare, let's be ready for what may come. Whatever happens, we'll buy the food, store it in our fridges and our cupboards, because tomorrow the storm might come. It might come. So we'll be careful and cautious. Now, is this something? That is this a big point to worry about, that we run around like headless chickens and worry about things like this? So what about this point we just discussed before that? That is a fact that will definitely happen, and authentically from Allah via Rasulullah confirmed by the Sahaba, we've been told that death will come. And our preparation for that, the fact, what can I say? The whole Ummah, nation of the believers, is in front of us. I'm in front of you. You are in front of me. Where's our preparation? Where's my preparation? Imagine how much ignorance. The level of ignorance is astounding. Can we see even a small iota of preparation for maut? No. We don't even know. And then this sabak, this lesson, these words that we've been informed about, the facts, timely fashion, Allah Ta'ala shows the signs. that death is going to come. In Allah Ta'ala regularly, Allah Ta'ala says that nobody knows when he is going to die, she's going to die, whether it's in a plane, in the water, in the car, in the train, walking, or in the mountains. Will I be? Somebody says to me that you will die in this mountain range. I say, huh? Here? How will this happen? How will I die here? I will ask the question. Tell me. Tell me. But what's the fact? That it's written in the destiny that everybody will die where the time and the place has been apportioned for them. That has been selected. So this is the point. So we need to understand this. So what's the reason here that we don't prepare? Whose loss is it? Ours. Mine. Everyone. What is going to occur will occur. We cannot delay it. Allah Ta'ala has said it. And what's the reason for this? Yaqeen, we don't have the beliefs and certainty in who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's words. We don't have the yaqeen from what our own eyes see. We've seen, look at the tragedy that occurred yesterday, a big tragedy, PIA, the airline carrier, and who died, who passed away. And did they decide they want to die in the mountains? Whoever sat on the plane, they were probably thinking and enjoying, and it was an hour and a half journey in the plane. And could anyone believe that this would have happened? And imagine, did they know that they're going to die and the engine failed, etc.? Allah Ta'ala knows best. This is no link. This was not the reason for the death. Allah Ta'ala apportioned that time. The reason was that Allah Ta'ala had destined that time and place for them to die. That was going to happen. And what happened? What has been mentioned in this hadith? Radiyallahu anhu, the sahabi, may Allah be pleased with him, is stating the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sahih hadith, sahih al-Bukhari, in two places the narration. Two narrations. But what is the situation? That a time will come. The time will come. And we need to understand this. Allahu Akbar. What is the message? That every individual, Allah Ta'ala will give kalam. Allah will communicate with every individual. Every individual, me, you, everyone in the world. Kalam Allah Rabbuhu. Allah will speak. Kalam Rabbuhu. And what will be the manner of Allah Ta'ala's kalam? Allah's speech and discussion. Let's listen to this. This is all pre-warning fact, 100%, that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has told. He's foretold us before. Nadhirun wa Bashir. Yeah, he's given us, he came, his objective of coming to the world was to warn us that what we did not know, he explained to us. He informed us, he pre-warned us, he foretold us, and he told us in such a way that he explained in such a graphic way as if that thing is in front of us. And maut will come definitely to every human being. And where will maut take us? When we die, we will then stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will speak directly to every human being, kalam. And how? Laysa baynahum. Laysa baynahum baynahum. لَيْسَ بَيْنَهُمْ بَيْنَهُمْ تَرْجُمَانُ. It will be such the speech like I am sat in front of you now. And I'm speaking to you. And there no one's translating in between. Direct my speech comes to you. Allah will question and I will have to answer. This is the day of judgment. This will be the day after the death. The time after that. Let's understand what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling us. Let's pay attention to the details. Nobody will be in between. No angel, no prophet. Nobody will be in between. There will be wahid, me and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in front of me. Allah will kalam, speak to me. And how? How? Laysa baynahum baynahum. That there will be nobody in tarjumah. Nobody will be translating, explaining, influencing, helping, assisting. Nothing. Nothing. Wahid. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be there and we will be stood in front of our Lord, our Creator. And then what will occur? What will occur? The whole scene graphically, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained to us that we hear the weather forecast. Oh, storm tomorrow, we run to the stores, Tesco's, we buy goods, shopping, and bring it home. Then let's listen to the mercy to the universe, Rasulullah, the Prophet of Allah, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who's telling us the facts about death and what will happen after death. What will happen? I will be stood, we will be stood one by one in front of Allah, no one else. And then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam continued to explain that that person, he will look towards his right side. And all during his life, the individual man, woman, whoever it was, when that person did good deeds, that and he sent them forward, or she sent them forward. This is the word of the hadith, that those deeds, for example, he sent forward. When we pray salah, it doesn't go home. It doesn't go into my pocket, this deed. Where does it go? We are sending it ahead of us in advance. The angels are taking it to the heavens. They pack it in a nice whatever, and they take it to Allah. So for example, I prayed Isha, Allah Ta'ala, I made a bit of a mistake in my salah, can I pray again? Allah will say, no, it's gone, been delivered to Allah. Either that salah was not accepted, it was a waste of time, or it was accepted because you did it correctly and you've benefited, and then it goes, that deed that's been done. So Rasulullah is saying this hadith, the deeds that you sent ahead of you, we go behind, we stay behind, but the deed goes ahead of us. It's sent onwards, forward to Allah. When will this become zahir? visible when we're stood in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then what, the first action, as I said, we'll look to the right. Yeah, our heads will be bowed, will be humbled. Then Rasulullah said that we look to the right first and see the good deeds we did, that we sent in advance of us before we died. Then وَيَنْصُرْ. Then that individual will look to his left, turn to his left. And what will be on the left side? All the bad actions, the negative actions, all of the wrong actions, the sins, the games we played. So Allah Ta'ala says, balance. You look to the right, you need to look to the left now. So when we look to the left, there will be a storm of actions for a person like me. They're all whirling around. And all those amal that we did during our life, not that what we sent ahead, but those deeds that first of all on the right will be those deeds that not just were sent ahead, but that will be accepted by Allah and His court. That salah we prayed in, if Allah Ta'ala liked it, accepted it, accepted it, then that salah will be ahead of us, before us. And we don't know this, but it will happen. Look how many prayers we've prayed that Allah Ta'ala will accept and say that I liked your prayer, I accept your prayer. You prayed according to the conditions. Alhamdulillah, your salah is kabool, accept. Your dhikr is accepted. We'll look to the left and all our actions will be visible. Every single thing will be visible, right and left, both sides. And then we will remember the verse of the Quran. What? Allahu Akbar. Khairu. That Allah Ta'ala will say that the khair and the shar on that day, every single deed clearly will be visible. The khair, the good deeds that we did, and I didn't do it maybe because I wanted to earn a good deed, but by chance maybe I implemented it, by chance I acted out, did something good, and I'll be stood there looking at my khair, and I will be reminded that I did this good action, and I'll be shocked, we will be shocked, the human being will be shocked, I can't even remember Allah, I did this deed. And then he'll look to the left. Subhanallah, glory be to Allah. Everything will be visible. The sins of the eyes, of the tongue, of the ears, of the stomach, of the hand, of the feet, of the legs. Every single sin we did will be stacked there in front of us, visible. Every single sin, wrong action, negative action will be visible. And the person will be shaking. Then he'll look in front of me. In the hadith, it stated that when he looks ahead, يَنْصُرْ بَيْنَمَا يَعِيدِهِمْ بِيَدِي. And he'll look in front. And what will he see? What will she see? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that when he looks ahead, what will he see? What will she see? The fire, the hot, hot fire and ashes and sparks of the fire of hellfire. And it will be in front of that person. This sight. And then who will come to assist us then? Only one thing could help then. And what is that? Preparation. Preparation. Today we are listening to this hadith, my friends. What's the objective of coming here? For me reading here today? This is not a speech. This is not a bayan. This is not a lecture. We've come to do dhikr. We've come to do dhikr. Don't waste the life. We shouldn't waste this life. This opportunity. Where, when, how? We don't know. Death will come. Death will come. We have no advance warning. At any time. Here, sitting, walking, lying down, sleeping. But death will come at any time. We should be extremely alert with the fact that death is going to come to us. And look at this hadith that tells us and teaches us and explains to us. Severe, severe preparation we should make. Extreme preparation. And the summary, the meaning of life, the crux of life is to prepare for death. And that day when we will look to the right, to the left and in front of us. The preparation for the right, we should have a list in front of us. Sahle amal. The whole list that Allah, we did this from morning to evening. We present it to Allah. And the preparation for the left is that we should run away from sins. Leave sins. Even if I pass away, but I won't implement this sin. Because that day is going to come. It's not going to disappear. And what's in front of me? That sight of hellfire. وَيَنْذَرْ بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ. That vision, that sight of hellfire in front of us. In front of me. And I'll see the fire. The hot fire. And the sparks that will be coming. The flames will be in front of the face. And what will save us there? And subhanallah, rahmatul lil alameen, the mercy to the universe. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam loved, he was shafiq, he loved the humanity. Ra'ufur rahim, bil mu'minina ra'ufur rahim. He loved the mu'mineen, ra'ufur rahim. He was the ra'uf and the rahim, the merciful. And all life, his whole life, he gave us guidance. Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He gave us a whole life, how we can live our lives. Bukhari, Muslim, the Sahih, Sita, Tirmidhi, Abu Dawud, all of Nasa'i, the hadith kitabs, we read the hadith, they'll give us direction of how to live the life. Every second of life. And he came, he foretold us, he explained to us what to do, what not to do. The whole kitab, the hadith collections. Read them, understand them. And what people... Look, those who died by in the mountain yesterday and they've passed away, they are stood in front of Allah now. They stood in front of Allah now. And Allah Ta'ala, may Allah forgive all of them and elevate all of their status, every one of them. But the objective is today for us to understand this, that where will we go? What will we do? What will we prevent in front to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What will we see on our right side? The good deeds? What will we see on the left side? Will we see the masses of sins? Brothers, very carefully and cautiously, we need to spend the life. We have not been sent to the world to argue and fight and dispute and quarrel and spread facade and to pull the other person's leg, to pester people. Who has got this much time to do these actions? Have we got, if somebody wants to fight with you, put your hands together and plead with him, for the sake of Allah, I don't have time. If you want to swear to me and ridicule me, do it now, please, and then get cool after that. I don't have time. If you've got time, then give me all of the swear words, the 15, 20, the ridicule and scolding you want to tell me off. Do it now so that we can end this matter now. Don't prolong. I don't want to prolong this enmity or this problem or issue you've got. We have to do a lot of actions in our lives. We've got lots of things to do. We ain't got time to mess about. My Hazrat Nur al-Marqada used to take a cool sigh and say, Babu, what thinking? What trance are you in? Why are you wasting time? What life are you lost in? Which way, which direction are you going towards? What destinations and phases are to come after today? Let's prepare for them. Let's think about them. What are we going to do that day? What muqamat, what situations are going to come? We don't know what's going to happen. When a person is not even mentally prepared, who is prepared? Tell me, we don't even know, except for those people who have done amal on these hadith in a gathering, in a majlis. If we've had a meaning, we've understood the message of life and we've then corrected our lives and put it onto a framework. And everything else becomes secondary. The first choice action of a Muslim's life is that the deed should go to my right and the left I should have zero actions. And how do I save myself from the scene in front of me? Yeah, as we've just discussed. That's it. Clear objective of life. Clear. Now who will save us? My brothers, who will save us? Is there anybody to save us? So we can be saved from that day. So all the deeds on the right, zero actions on the left, no sins. And in front of us, Savior. Because Allah Ta'ala says, I will save you. Who will save you? The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came to teach us, explain to us. And Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he in the dunya explained to us. He gave us such a solution that he even has saved us from that trap. And that severe test that on the right and the left and in front of us gave us such an amal. After showing us such a big scene, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, rahmatullahi alaihi, look at his love and karam, his love and mercy on the ummah, his love and mercy for every one of us. That's why Allah Ta'ala said that I am sending you ahsan, a ni'mah, a treasure to you, O Muslimin, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His whole life is a favor for us. Graphic detail of how he lived, we don't even care. How shameful for this scene, that when we look on the right, we look on the left, and the fire that will be in front of us. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you are my ummati, don't worry. Today I'll tell you an action, a methodology. If you practice that methodology, then you will come out of the trap on that day, of that predicament you'll be on the day. When you look to the right, looking for deeds, on the left there will be sins, and in front there will be the fire of hell. And he has given us a solution to be saved from that severe test. And such a maqam, such a severe test and challenge that day, he's given us, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, such a small deed, an easy deed that every one of us can do it, to be saved that day, to come out of that challenge. And I will say, Rasulullah said, I don't want any one of my ummati to go into hellfire. I don't want any of you to face severity. And it's shocking, amazing, surprising that we are together here. I'm with you, you are with me, and the whole ummah is together today, alive. Allahu Akbar. Even then our hairs don't stand on end. Even then the hairs don't stand on our backs. Even then we don't become aware. Life is a game for us. It's a laughter and joke and be merry and eat and drink, and nothing is going to come after this. We have no awareness that the death is going to come and there is a life after death, eternal. And I say that after reading this one hadith, we should bring into our one mind now that every second we consider that this could be my final second, and that I could be stood at that place. This is a hadith of Sahih al-Bukhari, two narrations. We should be so, you can say, sure of this hadith and aware that every second of our life we should be thinking out that scene that will happen on the day of judgment, right and left in front of us. So what should we do? Will we do it? Inshallah. But look, this time is here. Yeah, the death is going to come. We cannot avoid death, but we can avoid that severe challenge and test. That on the right we're looking for the deeds, the left there will be sins maybe, and in front there will be the fire. And Allah will ask us, and He'll say, can you see what's on your right, what's on your left, what's in front of you? What will save us on that day? What will save you? Allah will ask. Allah will say, that one thing could have saved you if you had trusted my Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you was ummati, then today you would have been saved if you had taken His advice. I am, we are, Allah, I'm an ummati, I'm a believer, I'm an ashik, I'm a lover. Allah, there were so many actions I did to show my ishq, my love. And there were people who followed me and accepted. People used to say, Allah, you are this and you are that. This is what we'll say, isn't it? That day, Allah will say that if you were the ashik, then today you would have passed that test. And you don't even look like an ummati, Allah will say to us. You don't even look like the follower of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Habib of Allah. Allah will tell us this. Now, we didn't even understand who was the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I'll give you a unique point today. A unique point, note this, understand it, point of note. Significant. That Allah Ta'ala, what is Allah Ta'ala telling us in the hadith? What is Rasulullah saying in this hadith? What is he explaining to us, teaching to us? What is he mentioning to us? Look, this is an ajeeb point, a very strong point, a unique point we need to understand. Rasulullah said in hadith, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى أكون أحب إليه من ولده وولده والناس أجمعين. That none of you, حتى أكون أحب إليه من ولده وولده والناس أجمعين. The Prophet ﷺ stated that none of you will have faith till he loves me, the Prophet ﷺ, more than his father, his children, and all of mankind. If we don't love Rasulullah ﷺ like this, then we don't have iman in our hearts. لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى أكون أحب إليه من ولده وولده والناس أجمعين. Never can we have faith till we love Rasulullah ﷺ more than our father, children, and all of mankind, our parents. That Rasulullah ﷺ is that Allah is saying that love my Nabi. That imagine this here. Imagine this. Is this a choice? Is this something where we are asked to worship Rasulullah ﷺ? Astaghfirullah. His personality, his character, subhanAllah, that he will love us. He loves us. He came with the deen to teach us how much love he has with us, with you, with all of us, how much he loved the ummah, how Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to stand in the night and tie the stones and the rocks on his stomach because he was hungry, and he did dua every night that Allah save every one of my ummati from Jahannam, hellfire, for me and for you. For me and you. Rather in the hadith it stated that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't even worry about his family as much as he did for every one of us here, every ummati. And Rasulullah, we are being told, the ummatis, that love the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So what we realize here, that we are useless people, we are drama people, we are fraudsters and cheats, and we are impure, this qawm, that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we won't even love him. And this is the generation we're in. Because this is why this hadith is being given. Otherwise, why would Rasulullah give this hadith if there was a risk that we wouldn't love him? Of course there's a risk. So look, for example, I say, Haji, I'll give you an example to understand the point. If I say, Haji sahab, pray salah. He'll say, are you mad? I prayed before you started praying. So if he's standing in front of me, Haji sahab, he's already praying. He's a worshipper. Ah, but if we see a person who's not praying, we'll say to him, you please, can you pray? You should pray. So does it make sense to tell a person who prays to pray? Or another person, brother or sister, or do this, pray. Obviously you won't say that to them if they're already praying. For example, if somebody is not fasting, you'll say, brother, sister, fast. If somebody already is voluntary fasting, will you tell him to fast? So hey, if Allah Ta'ala is saying that you need to love my Nabi, my Habib, more than everyone else, why did he give us his hadith 1400 years ago? Because Allah knew the time will come when we won't love Rasulullah. So do you understand the point I'm saying? So this is the point I was trying to explain, and this point has come in my heart, and I'm explaining it to you. So what is this hadith? Why did Rasulullah say that none of you will have faith till he loves me more than all of mankind? Why? Because he knew, Allah knew, that that time will come. There's a risk that the Muslims will not love. And how can it be that we don't love the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ? Muslims, believers, and we don't love Rasulullah ﷺ? If we did, then why would Allah Ta'ala tell us to love him? And how Allah Ta'ala, on top of this, has given us a total warning. لا يؤمنوا. That your salah, your fasting, your hajj, zakat, your actions, X, Y, Z, everything will blow away. And everything is dependent on the one thing, that we have to love the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then only will the deeds be accepted. All the amal that we do in our life, all of those will be put on one side. The first thing Allah will assess in our hearts, that did our hearts contain the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And how much did we love him? Then our fasting, prayer, hajj, zakat, A, B, C, Quran, recitation, all the nafal deeds we do, they have no power, no status, no rank, no acceptance. There's no iman. La yu'minu. Your iman is not, you don't have iman. It's not complete. You have no value of iman till you love Rasulullah more than your father, mother, children, and all of mankind. And what will be the reason for the acceptance of our deeds? The love for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if we say we have love, then if we had love, why was this hadith told to us? Oh, look what's happening here. Look what's happening there. He's got love. She's got love. Wow. Subhanallah. We are even worse than the stones and the rocks. And the pebbles, the stones, they're better than us. There were stones. When there, Abu Jahl had stones in his hand. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the stones were testifying that we love the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abdur rasul. We bear witness, we testify that he is the Prophet of Allah. Said the stones, the tree, we are even worse than the trees. The tree has no life, no eyes, no ears, no physical body like us. And the Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam hinted to the tree, and the tree ran to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it stood, it uprooted from the earth and ran and said, please order me, O Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what order have you got for me? You called me. What was the love of the tree? Can you imagine this example? Allahu Akbar. Another example. That did the revelation come on the rocks, on these stones, on the pebbles? Did the Quran get revealed? Did Allah's order come to the stones and that tree that loved my Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? We are being given order. We've been given the Quran morning and evening. The hadith are read to us. We are told about Sunnah and Islam, and then still we are in this position that Allah says, "La yu'minu ahadukum hatta akuna habba." And Allah is saying to us, still telling us, "Love my Prophet," and still we don't love. And the stones and the rocks and the tree weren't told. Such a piece of creation cannot speak or see, and we have no, you can say, recognition or awareness of these natural pieces of creation, the stones and the rocks, and they recognize the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Look at this scene in the Masjid al-Nabawi, the Prophet's mosque sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in front of all of the companions, and this piece of creation starts to cry and shriek and sob, and the companions radiyallahu anhum are shocked that who is crying, who is sobbing, who is shrieking, what is making this noise? One date palm, it had received a tragedy. Why? Because before, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to stand on the Jummah time and give the khutbah next to the tree and put his hand on it, blessed hand. And then Rasulullah ﷺ created a member was constructed. Rasulullah ﷺ moved to that new member and mihrab, and that tree was shocked and saddened because Rasulullah ﷺ had left it, and it cried and sobbed and it was about to split. And then Rasulullah ﷺ came to that tree and stroked it and said, why are you crying? And he said, ya Rasulullah ﷺ, you're asking me this question? I've lost your company, I've lost your sohbet, and I'm sad and I'm crying. Imagine, that date palm is thousands of times better than us. The Allah's Nabi ﷺ gave it a rank that stop crying, don't worry. Abdullah bin Masood says to Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu that he's won all of the allocates and the rewards. And Rasulullah embraced that tree, that date palm, and gave, this is the response of the love. If we had love today, then imagine what our status would be. How much love we'd have in our hearts. What would be the hal of the Ummah? We would be such in a great state of Ummah. But we are fake fraudsters and cheats. How we are living our lives, we are mad with the dunya and materialism and fake things. How shaitan has deceived us and instilled these whispers into our hearts to distract us and deviate us away from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this date palm cried and sobbed and shrieked that Rasulullah, when he went to that tree and stroked it and put his hand on it, it went quiet and stopped crying. And today that same pillar is there where that tree used to stand. Where did it get the health, the energy, the power to speak, to cry? Because Rasulullah was rahmatul lil alameen, mercy to the universe, and everything in the universe used to love him. And if it didn't say it, despite saying this in the hadith and the Quran, the creation loved. And today, even till today, we have not attained the love of Rasulullah. And we think we are the owners of Jannah, of paradise. Am I right or am I wrong, my friends? Am I right or am I wrong? So what did this tree say? What is the answer of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? That shall I take you into paradise, O tree, O date palm? Or shall I make you such a tree of dates that you will keep on giving dates and benefiting the people of the world and they will eat your dates? What do you want, O tree? And the tree said, I don't need paradise, O Rasulullah, nor do I want to become a date palm. I don't want to give off dates. I have one request, O Prophet of Allah, that I want to be the tree underneath your feet. I want it to be my head at the top and your feet on top of me. So Rasulullah ordered, took the tree from there. Rasulullah said, move this member. Rasulullah said, move the member. They said, O Prophet of Allah, that another issue will occur. That no, take the member away from here and dig a ditch here. And that tree was measured its height, and that hole was dug to that depth, and the tree was buried in that hole. And Rasulullah's then blessed feet were on top of that tree because it was an ashik, a lover. If a piece of wood can be a lover, imagine its maqam. Then on the day of judgment, Allah will ask, the seat will be given to Rasulullah to sit upon, and there a date palm will stand in the same way that Rasulullah used to sit in Masjid Nabawi and give the khutbah. And Allah's Nabi would put his hand on that tree, and then Allah will say, oh Nabi, tell me what you want. And Allah's Nabi Muhammad will put his hand on that tree and say, Allah, I want you to forgive all of my umam. What tree will that be? That same date palm that loved Rasulullah in Masjid Nabawi. Tell me, brothers, if me and you today love Rasulullah, then imagine our rank. It's not a drama game. The deen of Islam is not a game. It is not a drama. It is fact, reality. Rasulullah's donkey his transportation on which he used to travel. Look at its understanding and awareness. And Rasulullah ﷺ didn't tell his animal that you have to love me. So where did his love come from? The date palm wasn't told. Was it? The stones weren't told, but we are told. So some days after Rasulullah ﷺ passed away, his transportation, his animal was still alive. And it was very sad, very disheartened, heartbroken. One day he gave his neck, his head was trapped in between two places and he passed away. It was so sad. And Rasulullah ﷺ had four camels. I can't remember all of the names. And when Rasulullah ﷺ passed away, one of the she-camels of Rasulullah ﷺ, for 18 days she did not eat or drink anything. The she-camel, in the narration is stated that Hazrat Fatima Tuzora radiallahu anha, when the camel, she-camel passed in front of Hazrat Fatima, then it communicated her hal. She said, "You are the daughter of Rasulullah. Since your father has gone, your baba, I cannot remain alive. I don't feel like staying alive." And Hazrat Fatima radiallahu anha said, "At least eat something, drink something." She said, "No." The camel said, "I can't stay alive without the Prophet. I can't see your baba." And Hazrat Fatima Tuzora put her hand on the camel. And soon as she put her hand on the head of the camel passed away. Hazrat Ali karamallahu wajhahu came. And Hazrat Fatima cried, radiallahu anhu, said that this camel, she camel that my father used to sit on, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she's passed away. And Hazrat Ali said, "Pick up the camel." She said, no, don't pick it up. Let's bury the camel. She bought a piece of cloth from inside and said, "This is the coffin to cover the body of the camel." And the grave was dug and the camel was buried. And after burial, after lowering into the grave, Hazrat Ali karamallahu wajhahu said, "After a day, I came to see in the grave what is the hal of the camel, she camel." And there, the camel wasn't there. It was a beautiful fragrance coming from that grave. And she had already gone into paradise. So learn the lessons, brothers, learn the lessons. We are learning the examples of those animals in creation that were ashiks. And shall tell you of another ashik. Subhanallah, we are now discussing ashik and where the discussion's gone. And this is ishq and love, my brothers. Why do we make noise and bang the drum that we are this and we are that? We don't practice, we don't have love for Rasulullah. Shaitan is whispering in our ears and diverting us, deviating us. Because right and left, the hadith I've told you, we will fail in this. Think, what do we need? Think. Wahid, there's one person. There was one sahabi from all of the sahaba that after Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, never did the companion see him smile. Wahid, one companion. One. And there was the Ahlul Bayt. There was Fatima Tuzora radiallahu anha. But from all of the companions, there were many of them, thousands, tens of thousands, and there was one of the sahabi who never cried who never smiled after the death of Rasulullah, and he was the baba, the father of Hazrat Aisha Sadiqa radiallahu anha. Never did the companion see him smile, and he was like this, and he was never smiling and laughing after Rasulullah passed away. And once the sahaba was sitting in Masjid al-Nabawi, and Hazrat Abu Bakr Sadiq was Amir al-Mu'mineen, he was the leader of the Muslims, he suddenly stood up, and after standing up, he departed from Masjid al-Nabawi, and he walked fast, and Hazrat Ali said, "What's happening?" And he went after Hazrat Abu Bakr, and 6 miles Hazrat Abu Bakr Sadiq walked fast, passionately. Then he came back after those 6 miles, and he stood, put his head in his hands, he started to cry, his beard became wet with the tears. And then after taking courage, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu asked the Amirul Mu'mineen, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, "We don't understand what you've just done today. What happened? When did this happen?" 18 Jamadul Thani. Remember this, remember the dates of your shuyukh and your elders, remember the history. 18 Jamadul Thani in Masjid al-Nabawi, in the Prophet's mosque, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq was the Amir, and everyone was quiet, and Hazrat Umar asked them, "What is this? What did you do?" And he said, "Oh Umar, what happened is that because you've asked me, I will tell you that once Nabi Al Kareem, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, during his life, I couldn't see him in the masjid. I couldn't see him anywhere, and I was afraid. I was scared. So just like I ran off today, in the same way I ran after the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in that same route, 6 miles, I walked fast. Then I saw my master. I saw his blessed face, and I was so happy that day that I've seen my beloved, my mahbub, sallallahu alaihi wasallam." He said, "I am today so upset, so distressed that I am remembering the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so much. I'm remembering that I cannot bear the pain anymore. I ran off in that same route that if only I can see him again today, but I could not find my beloved. Hi, the heart splits when we hear such stories of heartache. And after that, he could not stand up. He was laid down on a bed. 18th, 20th, 21st. From Rome, a hakim, a doctor came on the 18th, 20th, 21st of Jamad al-Thani. He was a doctor, at tabib. And Hazrat Ali Karam al-Jur brought him, invited him, that our Amir al-Mu'mineen, our leader, please see him. What illness has he got? And he was a tabib, a big tabib. He assessed, he diagnosed, he investigated. He said, "No, he hasn't got any physical illness. He hasn't got fever. Then they said that, please, he's ill. There must be an issue. He must have some illness. Tell us. And he said that this is a very unique point, that he has lost the company of his beloved somebody, and this has caused him to be unwell. And on the 20th of Jamadul Thani, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq passed away and met with his beloved and was buried at the feet of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. These are the ashiqeen, my brothers. Ishq, ishq. And this is what Allah Ta'ala is calling. لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى أكون أحب إليه من ولده وولده والناس أجمعين. We say we are ummati. We see that we are believers. We don't have the love. What maqam we have been given. Look at our rank and our status. Look at this. And if we were made the believers, the ummatis of another Nabi, what would be a hal? Yes, we will stand, and we will stand as Ashraf, the greatest ummah. With who will we go into paradise? With who? With which name will we be called out? What title will we be given? Imagine who we are associated with. Who is our Nabi? Ashraf, the greatest of mankind. And our ummah will be Ashraf, the greatest ummah. And first the Muslimin will go into paradise. And how? What is the situation in the world today? La yu'minu ahadukum. And we don't have one splash of love amongst the ummah today. And is this how we will go into paradise? Is this our muhabbat and the reflection of our love? We need love, natural love for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How should our ishq be? Our love, like Allah explained, that if you want love, what love should we have? How should we be lovers? Such a love that in the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whatever we have to do and give, we should do, and we should be able to give everything, all our time and efforts for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's love. And what kind of love? Subhanallah, our parents, our children, and all of mankind, we should love the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam more than this. And everything else in creation, everything, any time in life, any moment in life, any second in life, if any big test or challenge comes, but we have to say no, that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we love him more than all of the challenges and the trials and the tests that will come our way. We will not compromise his love for the love of dunya and everything else. But we don't even give a taka. We don't give a penny for this love. We don't even want to adorn our face with the sunnah. When there's a sunnah that comes our way, we make thousands of excuses to explain to a person that this is the sunnah, that to explain the importance of a sunnah, to explain or advise somebody to practice sunnah, thousands of excuses come in the way. Explain. Imagine if I have to tell myself, or we have to share with others, or advise each other about sunnah, thousands of obstacles and hurdles come in the way. And what is Rasulullah saying about his sunnah? The man ahabba sunnati fa man ahabbani. The what do I love the most from all of your amal, the most beloved action, is the action of my sunnah. If you believe that and practice that, that's the most beloved thing. Man ahabba sunnati fa man ahabbani. Whoever follows the sunnah has loved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Clear, clear. And this is the biggest deed. The biggest deed is the sunnah. And we degrade the sunnah to the lowest level. We rub it in the dust with our own feet, that we are ready to do whatever we need to in the world to be prosperous, so cool, but we're not ready to follow the sunnah. Don't say that Rasulullah's beard was this long or this, and his cloth was this color. We don't need this. We pray salah, we say, that's enough. We read Quran, that's enough. Even we say Quran, we don't want. We don't need hadith, just Quran is enough for us. Nauzubillah. People say this today. They shun the sunnah. They shun the way of Rasulullah. Don't tell us he had this appearance, he did this, he did this. No, no, we are the Ahl al-Quran. We don't need hadith, we say today. The Quran is enough for us. The verses of the Quran, where will these people go? Where will we go? And what is this event? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what is he telling us? That any time, how, when, where, we don't know. But very quickly, we are about to die. We will go to the court of Allah. And laysa minhum, that you, between you and Allah, there will be nobody to intercede at that time. Allah will ask us directly. So he is the Nabi, our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who is saving us, my friends, a massive favor of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam upon us. How has he taken us out of the predicament? There will be hellfire in front of us. Our amal will be cold. We'll have nothing on the right, everything on the left, and we'll see Jahannam in front of our faces. Let's promise in our life that those actions that were the most beloved to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we will never sell them. We will never sell them. Remember this, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's love, never sell it, my friends. Never sell it. Whatever comes in the Quran, whatever is told to us in the Quran and the Hadith, we need to implement this. We need to implement this. This is a very cheap bargain for us, a very cheap set. And what will we get for it? Just after making some effort in this world, what will we get? We will get an eternal reward, my friends, eternal. And this is just a small phase of life we're passing through. Tests and trials will come. We sell our iman. We sell our belief. What life is this? We sell for taka, for pennies, rupees. We sell our iman. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's love is sold we don't even feel, we're not even aware that we've committed a sin, an error. We didn't even know that Rasulullah ﷺ liked this, he didn't like this. This is not the standard of our life today, is it? Our standard of life, the basis of our life should be that the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ liked this, we'll do this. He disliked this, we'll leave this. What did Rasulullah ﷺ say about this action X, Y, Z? We should do this and leave this, but this is not our standard today. We don't. And that same Nabi, the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ says, has told us that I will explain to you how to be saved on that day from that severe test. Will we listen to this? Will we believe this and practice this? But I will say this, that we won't be able to do this. Why? Because this is our punishment. This is our punishment. Such an easy action. Tell me. Such an easy action that I'm presenting in front of you. And I won't even ask that how many people practice this deed that Rasulullah has told us to do. Why don't we do it? And for which reason don't we do it? Because we are immersed in the punishments. Because we've left Rasulullah. لَا يُؤْمِنُ أَحَدُكُمْ حَتَّى أَكُونَ أَحَبَّ إِلَيْهِ. We have got just drama, cheating, fraud in our life. Because when a slight test comes for the love of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, we fail. I'll tell you the truth. We will fail, but we won't be able to follow the love of Rasulullah ﷺ. Implement the condition for his love. Look, let's test ourselves. Let's test myself. Because the reason for this is that the solution that Rasulullah ﷺ has told us in the hadith, we can't practice them. Because Allah said, لَا يُؤْمِنُ أَحَدُكُمْ حَتَّى أَكُونَ أَحَبَّ إِلَيْهِ. You cannot be a mu'min unless and until and if you don't love my Nabi ﷺ. And what do we need to do? We need to have sincere love with the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ to benefit from all of the plus points in Islam. So what a beautiful solution has been given to us. So, O Prophet of Allah ﷺ, how will we save that day from that fire of hell in front of us? So Rasulullah said, I will give you two solutions. Ittaqun nar. Rasulullah said in this hadith, was his hadith is continuing. He said, shall I tell you two things? You'll be stood, on your right will be your good deeds, on your left will be the sins, in front will be the fire. And then Rasulullah said, Ittaqun nar. Save yourself from the fire. Save yourself from the fire. You are very close to hellfire. Save yourself from the fire. Save yourself from the fire. O Prophet of Allah, how? How? بِشَكِّ تَمْرِهِ. Subhanallah, what a beautiful, easy solution Rasulullah SAW. بِشَكَّ تَمْرِهِ. Such an easy solution that gives sadaqah. Gives, say Subhanallah, Subhanallah. Is this hard? Is this difficult? Where is Rasulullah SAW saying this? That from here you'll be saved. Even if you feel there's a loss physically in the world, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. 100,000, 200,000, 5 million, 10 million shops, assets. No, Rasulullah SAW is saying that even a poor person can do this. That even the person, the poorest person, you are included in this solution. Because every human being has to reach to this destination. There'll be Allah, you, right, left, in front, Jahannam. You will see the scene. Every human being that day will be stood. And for every human being, Rasulullah has given this solution. That even if you give sadaqah, charity, equivalent to one date, you will be saved that day from that test. One piece of a date. One piece of day. Tell me, has that got any value? Tell me, we all are sitting here with iman. There are thousands listening at this time, my sisters, my brothers. Please explain that this hadith, did you know about this hadith before? If you didn't know about this hadith, then what kind of Muslims are we? Those who don't even know about themselves, though, how are we going to die? Where? What's going to happen after we die? How do we get saved from the test after death when maut comes? At the time of death, how do we pass the test at death? How do we pass the test in the grave? How do we pass the test on that day when Allah will be in front of us? Rasulullah came to tell us these every things. He didn't come to just tell us, believe me, worship me, and celebrate the days about to me. No, Rasulullah says the whole world can do this. Allah says in the Quran, Inna Allah wa malaikatu yusalluna ala nabi. Is there any greater celebration than this? That Allah Rabbul Kareem is saying, my angels, I send the rood, you also send the rood. And you also, human beings in the whole universe and creation, send the rood. Leaves upon leaves send the rood on Rasulullah. Every tree, leaf, branch, spider, ant sends the rood. Huh? The stone send the rood. And the mountain send durood. Ahud Pahar, the mountain, he says that I recognize you, O Rasulullah, Salasam, the Prophet of his time has come to me. Allah's Nabi says that you love us, O Ahud, and we love you, O Ahud. Subhanallah, the mountain, the rocks, and the earth is better than us. And the Muslim who is Ashraf, the Mu'min, the Ummati of the Prophet Muhammad, Salasam, who has Quran in the heart, who has knowledge of hadith, who has masjids, attends masjids. And we have the mimbar and the mihrabs, and we have the prayer mats, and our hearts are open, the iman is in our hearts. But one stone and rock is better than us, and will stand on the day of judgment, and will be better than us. And Rasulullah said, La yu'minu ahadukum, and we'll be thrown into hellfire. Brothers, we need to prepare for death. Prepare. I'm not speaking out of anger. I'm not angry. I haven't come here to give a bayan or a speech or a lecture. I'm speaking and discussing and sharing the pain in my heart, because I myself are on this journey. I am correcting myself. I'm reminding myself. I'm not telling you. I'm telling myself. Totally, I'm not telling you. Don't think I'm telling you or reminding you. I'm trying to correct myself. I'm scolding myself, telling myself, what am I today? Where will I be tomorrow after I die? Did they not die yesterday, more than 40 of them? Are they not stood in the line today? Now, they're all being asked. Every one of them being asked, oh, who are you? What did you bring? Ah, bring your deeds. Bring the accounts from the dunya. It will be very hard that day, brothers. Very hard. That don't make Islam just a few actions and think we are successful. Oh, pass the test. I'm a believer. I'm going to paradise. I used to do this. I'm forgiven. I'm this and that. No, nothing. Only one thing. We don't know ourselves that what we will be forgiven for and how. Which kalima will save us and how we will be told off. That this is such a difficult destination. Such a difficult time that's about to come. My friends, my brothers, listen carefully to what I'm saying. Day and night, understand that time we can't even pass a second. Think about that time, that when that plane hit the mountain, and when it would have dropped and crashed, and one person showed me a clip, Allahu Akbar, I was leaving the masjid, and that plane, from within the plane, the noises that were coming, the screaming, the shrieking, Allahu Akbar, and such a screaming, that your heart would split hearing this, because when maut is shown, when maut is visible, and the dhikr at that time, and dhikr in normal days, imagine the difference, you cannot hear those screams. I was leaving the masjid, and a brother said to me, listen, queer. I said, what? He said, I want to show you something, I want you to hear something. That plane is falling and it's about to crash, and those brothers and sisters inside who are about to die, they're saying, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And a point came to my heart. Allah is great. If only that dhikr they'd done in their lifetime, because now maut is in front of them. If only they did dhikr intensely like that in their lifetime, what would have happened? If only half an hour before, 10 minutes before, they had done that dhikr, and imagine the maqam that time. And we see maut and we're saying to Allah, Allahu Akbar, Allah is the greatest. Allah is the greatest, of course. Allah is the greatest. Allahu Akbar, tell me. And that same dhikr is being uttered and done. 40 individuals are scared at the time of maut. Who are they calling out? Who are they remembering? And when Allah has given health and iman and masjids and everything is given to us, every day there's dhikr. And does our hair stand on end? Do they stand on our backs? Do we believe that we're going to stand in front of Allah? Do I not plead with you and put my hands together and call you, invite you? And we come out of the masjid, we leave the masjid after the dhikr announcement. So quickly we don't know what's happening, who's sitting, what dhikr. What nonsense. We leave the majlis and listen to that clip. Those more than 40 individuals were about to die. Their mouth has come to their had come in front of them and their ruh has been extracted. Were they not doing dhikr of Allah? Were they not remembering Allah at that time? Why were they doing dhikr of Allah at that time? Why were they remembering Allah at that time? That Allah Ta'ala said, I used to say that this same dhikr is what could have saved us. Allah will tell us all, and was telling them that dhikr of mine is so great, if you did it through the life, you all would be in a good position thereafter. So should we do dhikr or not? I am not a messenger. I am not a magician. I am not a peer or a sheikh. Or just a speaker. No, I'm a fakir. I have pain in my heart that we can be saved from the hellfire, all of us. What need do I have to make this gathering and majlis? And I say to you, I'm a peer, or run after me, I'm this healthy. I have don't have time for this, do I? Can I take this burden of the time? I'm not a peer or anything, my brothers. I have no link with these things. All I desire is that we all do our islah. We rectify ourselves. And that we should all hold hands together and go into paradise. How enjoyable that scene will be. We stood in front of Allah. We look to the right. We see dhikr upon dhikr and durood and good deeds and mountains of deeds and rahmah and noor. When we look to our left, it's total zero and clear. No sins at all when we look to the left on that day when we're in front of Allah. Allahu Akbar. And when Allah will ask us, when we look to the left, and we'll see all of the mountains of the sins. Allah will say, my servant, my creation, oh man, how weird. How weird. Did you not feel ashamed? Are you not ashamed today that for miles away you can see on your left, you can see stacks and stacks and miles of sins, and you'll be thrown into hell due to these deeds? In the life, in the world, I gave you one thing. Once I told you to do tawbah and repent, all of these sins would have been removed. Every one of them. If once you had said to your Rabb, Allah forgive me, all of these sins on your left would have been removed, and you would have had zero sins on the Day of Judgment, and you didn't even have the tawfiq to stand in front of your Rabbi Kareem and say, Allah, forgive me, I gave you Ramadan, Laylatul Qadr. You celebrate the days and the nights. In the night, in the days, the year, the great days that come, the great nights, you celebrate them, Laylatul Qadr, Ramadan, famous nights, great nights, just to make a gathering, and you don't care about anything else. You're waiting for the night, 15, Shaban, Laylatul Qadr. Allah said, I gave you these nights for a reason. All of these great nights, the angels called out, they don't follow the traditions and the habits and the cultures, just come and do tawbah. Did the Sahaba celebrate days like this? Did they make a clamor and a noise? That I've told you, Allah's hukam, Allah's order, via the practice of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and confirmed by the amal, the practice of the companions, radiyallahu anhu. Let's look at their lives. Let's look at their Laylatul Qadr. What did they do? Let we see their nights. How did they pass? Apart from on their tongue, one thing. Ilmi zultu nafsi, ilmi luzu nafsi, faghfirli, faghfirli, faghfirli. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. From their mouths, they said, Allah, forgive us, forgive us, forgive us. And we don't even say this from our mouths, but there's punishment on us today, that from our mouths we cannot even utter, Allah, forgive us. That a sin we do, we'll see every sin. The sins we'll see on that day on the left-hand side, and the Jahannam, the fire will be in front of us, and we won't be able to eliminate it. And today, even if we do sins to the stack, to the heights of the mountains, the peaks, and we say, Allah, forgive us, Allah will remove and eliminate all those sins. But we don't have the tawfiq to do tawbah today. Allah will ask us, I give you Ramadan, the great nights, Shabbi Jummah, the night of Jummah, Majlis-e-Dhikr, I gave you recitation of Quran, I gave you Taraweeh, I gave you such opportunities and days and nights and everything, and you were playing games. Oh, enjoy life, do this, do that, falah, and this and that. And in front of this, you went to benefit from all of the waste of time in the life, and you didn't have the tawfiq to sit one day and say, Allah, forgive me. And if you did, then on the day, that day we're in front of Allah, we'd see no sins on Allah. Is it hard to give sadaqah? Is there any value of one date? Hands up if somebody has given this much sadaqah today. Value of one date. No one's given it. No one. Why? Because we are living a life of game and laughter. We don't want to leave the laughter and the game. The first point to success is love of Rasulullah SAW, muhabbat of Rasulullah. We need to put this in our hearts. Such a love. I give the example of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, that he cried when he remembered his companion, the Prophet Muhammad SAW. Not, oh, I'm this, I recited this naat and this nasheed, and we play games, we don't follow the sunnah, we don't have love. Beware, this is fraud and cheat. I've given the example of the stones and the wood, of the donkey, of the animals, of the camel, and of the human being. And this is what we define as ishq, as the love of Rasulullah SAW. If I start giving example of the sisters and the women folk, then we will be here for so long. There are so many untold examples of ishq. That was the generation of love. The Sahaba, the stones, they love Rasulullah SAW. Whose example shall I give you? The history is full of the ishq and the love of Rasulullah SAW. My brothers, that he, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was such a personality that we had to love him. There's no choice. If the whole creation loves him, the leaves and the stones and the rocks, Allah himself loves Rasulullah sallam, and Allah has to tell us to love the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And higher, how unfortunate we are, how wretched we are, that we have been given this glad tiding and we still don't love him. We are munafiqs and hypocrites and liars and fraudsters and low level human beings. We've passed through all of the trials of the world and we still don't care. Everything in creation is better than us. And we have Iman, we have Quran, and look at our hal. We follow haram, we practice haram, our hands don't shake. We lie, our hearts don't shake. We do fraud, our hearts don't shake. We do all the bad actions and our hearts don't shake. We call ourselves Ummati, we can't control our eyes or our tongues or our nafs or our desires. We don't even know how to do sijda. We don't know how to prostrate and listen to our words. We fight all day long, quarrel, argue, backbite, sneer at people, and we give kufr fatwas to each other. We criticize each other. We call other peoples that they're not Muslims. We fight and argue in masjids. And we'll fight in such a way in mosques that the angels will be ashamed that this is the ummah who says they've got iman. Look at the quarrels and the disputes and the fights and debates. Oh, let's start debate. We'll debate all day long and fight and give fatwas. He's not a Muslim, he's not a mu'min, he's not following deen and this and that. But what will be of use? The love of Rasulullah, and that is not even seen for a second in our lives. We haven't got time for it. We don't care for it. Hi, my brothers. What deen, what Islam can there be without the fragrance of Rasulullah's sunnah? There is no deen without that. There is no deen. I tell you clearly. So Allah Ta'ala's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that one date equivalent to that, if you give sadaqah, you'll be saved on that day from that scene. But we don't even do that. We cannot even give the sadaqah of one date's worth. Then further, Rasulullah SAW said that if a time comes that you don't even have a date or a piece of day, imagine the love of Rasulullah SAW here in this hadith. He foretold that even if you don't have the value, the wealth to have a piece of a day, then I'll tell you a deed that will compensate for that. And then even then you'll be saved from that test on the day of judgment. O Prophet of Allah SAW, I don't even have the date. I won't have the piece of date. And there are people who don't have the days to eat. What do you think? What is sadaqah? Who are we giving sadaqah to? That we start to sacrifice the goats and the sheep. We don't give to the poor. We think there are no poor people in the world. When we think, oh, I've got to do sadaqah, I've got to give sadaqah to Allah, then we start to slaughter. We take the knives and we slaughter the necks of the goats and the sheep. We think we're slaughtering animals, we're doing sadaqah. Oh, this thing happened to me, Allah, this tragedy. Oh, I slaughtered 3 goats or 4 sheep or 5 sheep. What was the fault of these animals? And you're using the knife to sacrifice these animals. Oh, foolish people, if you want to give sadaqah, do you not know there are millions of people who don't have food to eat? No bread. They're hungry, thirsty for 3 days. Their parents, the children, their mouths are open, their lips are dry. And you're passing the knife over the neck of the sheep. Why don't you, and then you eat that same meat. You don't give it to the poor. That if you understand the meaning of this hadith, The iman, the beauty of iman would come into your heart if you feed the poor people. Oh, I'm slaughtering 5 camels or sheep or goats and we're eating that food ourselves and we're not distributing. What kind of sadaqah is this that we're doing? Is this sadaqah? Charity? Where we slaughter something in the name of Allah. We eat the same meat. I said to a brother, for the sake of Allah, what are you doing? Oh, I slaughtered 50 camels. Oh, sorry, 50 sheep. I said, stop it. Stop it. What did the goats do? Where did that meat go? Use that same money. Go to that village. Go to that same locality. Some locality. I know so many people in one place in the world. So many poor people. Saliva even is not coming out of their mouth. Their lips are dry. They have nothing to eat. At least dig a well for them. Construct a well for them. Give somebody something, a resource. For example, you can make somebody make some sort of enterprise or some business for someone so he can earn for himself, or make a sister self-sufficient so she can look after herself and her family. What do you get from sacrificing the goat? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you give a piece of a date in sadaqah, but Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam knew that there would be people in my ummah who would be so poor they won't even have this. Look for those people when you sit down to eat the meat, the boti. This hadith is teaching us, be ashamed, feel ashamed that there are poor people in the ummah, and you fill your stomach and you throw the rest of the food in the bin. In the bin. These are hints and signs in the hadith that we need to understand. The Quran and the hadith, we should immerse ourselves deeply and read the Quran and hadith. The more we dive, the more the depths we dive into the Quran and the hadith, the more pearls will come out. The more we dive into the Quran and hadith, the more precious pearls will come out for us. The more. What a great hint we've been given here. That in my ummah, there will be such people about who Rasulullah said that if you can't even do this action, then yakin and definitely there will be people. We'll have to look for these people. We'll have to find these people, phone them, seek them. That, are you poor? Is there someone in your family who's poor? Do you know someone who's poor? Every time we should be searching, seeking, looking for poor people in the world, human beings. Why did Rasulullah say in the hadith at the end that even if you don't have a piece of a day, then do this next action? We think we are saved. I prayed Salah in the morning. I read Quran, Tilawat Quran, recitation of fast. I'm going to go into paradise. Is this love? And whereby these hadith have been told to us. This hadith is telling us that when you are free during the day, in every second moment, worry about the ummah. Worry about human beings around you. Look in Bangladesh, is he in Pakistan, in Gujarat, in India, in Surat, everywhere, all corners of the world. You don't look, what language is this, a Pathan, Bengali? No differentiation. He's an ummati, hungry. If he's a human being, someone Allah has created, don't look, is he a Muslim, non-Muslim, what religion, what creed, what background, language? No. If the person's hungry, look at the stomach. The person's hungry, give the person bread, food, meat. He is the creation of Allah. She is the creation of Allah. No differentiation. Muslim, non-Muslim, disbeliever. Doesn't matter. Look out for people who are in need. Give sadaqah to everyone in the world. This is dalil. Look for people who are in need and serve their needs. Help people. And we say, I'm a dhakir, I'm a Muslim, I do dhikr, I read Quran, I've read so much Quran today, so many tasbih dhikr. Tell me, did you feed a poor person today? And we'll bow our heads in shame. Then how will we go in front of Allah on that day? Rasulullah said that Allah loves his creation. He says, whoever loves my creation, I love those people. Allah says, whoever loves my creation, have we ever done fikr on this? Will we have fikr for this? Will we worry about this? So make a system, a framework in life, my brothers. Make a system, a framework. We should have a system, a method, methodology. We should all run after the objective, the true ultimate objective. We think we're free, just pray and done dhikr, we go masjid. No, you go India, Pakistan, other countries of the world, villages, poor places, and you say, I'm a Sufi, I'm pious. No, first fill the stomachs of the people, then tell people to do dhikr, then give da'wah, then propagate. We always, in the khankas of the walis of Allah, food would be served first. Why? When the stomachs of the people be filled, then they will run towards worship even today. That they're in the khankas, there's food and meat, people come to eat, and then they're trapped. When Allah Ta'ala's name is then recited, then they remember Allah, and then they forget the food. Ah, this is a methodology, hikmah. There was no khanka that didn't give lunch. Even my husband, rahmatullahi, nur al-maqda, dal, roti would be served. Because food is a natural thing, isn't it? Our stomach's there, it's natural, we have to eat, we're hungry. If I go to a village, come, let's do dhikr, believe in Allah, they'll say, get this man out of here. We're hungry. And this happened with me once, we had a tussle. They said, what dhikr are you teaching us? I went one place in Africa, in the jungle, in the wilderness, in a village where there's nothing, hot, poverty, barren. The whole qawm came, the village, first give us food. I said, you are right. You're right. First give food, prepare the food, then we will do dhikr. What dhikr? He said, what's dhikr? We are hungry, we are thirsty, we need food, we need nourishment. Well, yeah, we need to remember, so because the stomach will take a person to disbelief, kufr, if we don't fill it. So if my food is in my stomach, then I'll do dhikr, isn't it? I'll remember Allah. So worry about people, have fikr for people, feed people, help people, assist people. That's why Rasulullah cared how much he had care for us. Tell me, he said, if you don't, that give the date or even a piece of a date in charity. If you don't even have the piece of date in the charity, then Rasulullah said, yeah, maybe there'll be a person who doesn't have this. But at least you can do this. Kalamat tayyibah. كلمه الطيبه, that at least speak a good word. So a person who speaks a good word, he will also be freed from Jahannam. And this is sadaqah as well. And oh, may I give congratulations to those women and men, sisters and brothers who've made this the objective of their life in this day and age, in this country, such people, alhamdulillah, that morning and evening, their worry, their fikr and concern, I'm going to give sadaqah, I'm going to help somebody, help the needy, help people, assist people. I'm telling you the truth, it's amazing, shocking to see great people like this, that brothers and sisters, men and women, human beings who help others. We do dhikr, and what do those men and women do? What do they say? I know these people. I know that I want to give charity. Who can I give to with my hands? Who can I feed? They have this fikr all day, all night. What a beautiful point. Imagine. Imagine. So my brothers, my colleagues, the discussion has extended quite a lot. I ask forgiveness if I pained somebody's heart or said something wrong. But this is the crux, the summary of what I've discussed today. I summarize today, I conclude. The Rasulullah SAW gave us a solution to be saved from that scene on the Day of Judgment. Sadqa, give charity every day, or choose a time, a day in the week, not to sacrifice a goat or a sheep. No, but we should worry about the poor, the needy tomorrow on the Day of Judgment. What will save us from the fire? This action will. Sadqa, charity is a great, great deed. And we've been given an easy solution. Whenever you have the opportunity, chance, give sadaqah. But be careful that, for example, don't give sadaqah and then show off after that. Put the food into the hungry person's stomach. That's the enjoyment. That the hungry person put the food and the drink. No, I gave to this person and I've done this sadaqah and I spent on this building or this person. You're trying to just show that you fulfill your obligation. No, with your hands. Don't give to organizations and groups and that. No, feed the poor person from your own hands. I tell you, wallah, you give a person money, he buys food and he sits and eats in front of you. I tell you, you feel so much enjoyment of iman and peace in your heart that you cannot compare to that time. You cannot compare that feeling to anything else in life. Experience that. Have worry for the ghareeb and the poor people. This is a great worship action that's been told to us in this hadith. And the other part, kalamatu tayyiba. Rasulullah said, if you don't have enough to even give a date to someone, then don't talk rubbish, don't talk nonsense during the day, don't use waste of time to discuss things with your tongue. Save your tongue for better things. So I will explain that Rasulullah said, if you can't give even a date, a portion of a date, then kalamatu tayyiba. These are the words of the hadith, aren't they? So what does this mean? So my feeling, my thoughts say something else here. Say, what is the meaning of this? That when a person's hungry, 2 plus 2 equals what? You ask him, and the poor person will say, 2 plus 2 equals 4 chapati, 4 pieces of bread, 4 slices. When I do kalamatu tayyiba, then my thought, my understanding of this hadith tell me something important. That Rasulullah is hinting to this point, that kalamatu tayyiba is one. La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasul. This is the greatest kalama, isn't it? Kalama tayyib, we say, isn't it? Kalama tayyib. Kalama tayyiba. So kalama tayyib. So my thoughts, my opinion here, understanding is that this means that if we cannot even give charity by food, then at least do the dhikr of Allah. If we can't even do this, that we can't give a piece of a date, then what should we do? Do dhikr of Allah. Do dhikr of Allah. Our tongues will be purified and we will be freed from hellfire. Do you understand what I'm saying? You don't understand? Oh, come on, man. We haven't even got the intellectual, the understanding to understand this. Look, kalamu tayyiba. What do we say? Kalamu tayyiba. La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasul. This is kalamu tayyiba, isn't it? The pure kalama. The Quran said this is a clear, the pure kalama. So here in the hadith, Rasulullah is saying, the sadaqah will save you, even if you give a date to someone, even a piece of a date. But even if you don't have a piece of a date to give to someone, then at least you can do dhikr of Allah, can't you? Can't we? Do you understand now? Aha, so at least do dhikr, alhamdulillah. If you don't have money, you can't give money in charity, then at least do dhikr, remember Allah, then inshallah that will cool the fire on that day when we stood in front of Allah. My brothers, whatever we've discussed, may Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq and ability to practice on this. Ameen.